Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time of singing and blessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the midst of innumerable company of angels. Are they not ministering spirits? Set forth to minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. And even the angel of the Lord himself encamp around us, delivering us from all the snares of the power. Lord, we worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Amen.
And the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among God. And we behold his glory as of the only begotten of the Son of God, full of glory. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you through faith that the words were framed by the Word of God.
Amen.
Without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him and created by him,
Amen.
Visible and invisible. Be they thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were made by him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. So thank you, Father, as we read this morning, Lord. Lord, oh Lord God, we pray that the Holy Spirit himself, who is the author of this word, we interpret into our spirit and help us to let it mix with faith, in our heart, Lord, and live here, oh Lord God, you know, with our legs lifted up, oh Lord God, and our heart full of faith that we came in.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, many, the average Christian, I'm not talking about here, you know, they do not like so much prophecy, you know, and in many churches, I don't blame anybody. I mean, prophecy is the last thing they want to talk about, you know. You take an average church, you know, look for yourself. I mean, prophecy is the last thing they talk about, you know. And so bad it is that many people and groups even, you know, tamper with the book of Revelation. And yet the Bible says that, you know, it has two apocalyptic books, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. The Old Testament Apocalypse is the book of Daniel, right? And the New Testament Apocalypse is the book of Revelation. And they complement each other. There is no contradiction in the Bible. People who don't understand it, this is a contradiction that no, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And yet the Bible says, this Bible is a book of prophecy too, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a scientific book. It's a book of history. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our Bible says, Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus, right, is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
Why would they lack prophecy? Satan wants to hide from them what shall surely come to pass in a short while. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, but the letter of God, they love prophecy and so on like that, you know, because, like I said, that is the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the whole Bible is our doctrine. Praise the Lord. From Genesis to Revelation, will be exhortation, be preaching faith, or whatever it might be, or that is in the Bible. Praise God. This morning, kind of a prophetic review, you know, and, you know, maybe familiar with most of us here. Like I said, that is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning from 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. Bible is telling you and I. It is the last, I don't care what the word says. The Almighty God, the creator of all the end of the earth, says you and I, it is the last time, amen? And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Just repeating it, right? To make sure that we know that you know that it's the last time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before people say anything about it, don't forget, with the Lord, a day is a thousand years. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Our thousand years is a day with the Lord. So this morning, talking about this scripture here, I want to talk by the grace of God, the forerunner of the Antichrist, amen?
Amen.
The forerunner of the beast. You know, I mean, there's no time. It is also worth this. We are living in the most prophetical generation, amen? Praise the Lord in the history of the world. Praise the Lord. Brother, they know it or not, we are living in the most prophetical generation, the last generation actually. How do we know? The Lord Jesus said this generation will not pass away. Which one? That see Israel return again to our homeland. Amen. The length of that generation, he hid it away. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And in today world of internet and proliferation of communication and so forth, kind of false doctrine going around. 2 weeks ago or so, I got on the internet, somebody said that one preacher in South Africa said that that's what will happen so and so date, and many were deceived, right? You see, Bible says if it were possible, it will deceive the very elect. Even the more religious, you must know prophecy. The Christian of the end time must understand prophecy. If you are looking for the coming of the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord. It is that simple, So anyway, so this morning, the forerunner of the beast or the Antichrist. Now, many people throughout the age, they have a different conception, or I will call it misconception, about what the Antichrist will look like when he come on the scene and so on. Some see the Antichrist as a sinister personage with a thunder and lightning flashing when he speaks. Some imagine him, as it were, with horns and hoofs and a pitchfork in his hand, looking like how the artist picture the devil in the comic books, right? And something like that and so on. What is the truth of the matter? Should that be the case, people will flee from him and he will never have a chance of attaining supreme power, if that's the way we come. Although he will be a Satan's masterpiece at first, he will appear as a man inspiring the confidence of the world. Look at what we are living in today. You will find their confidence. People are discouraged everywhere. Even in this nation, don't be deceived. The greatest debtor nation in the whole world is America. Praise the Lord. Don't see the flashy thing and so on. Overnight, sir, you see, is the most greatest debtor nation in the whole world. You are hearing your government shutting down, right? What does that mean? They can't pay their debt. The interest they owe on the trillions and trillions of dollars that they owe, right? So don't be deceived. Only in Christ Jesus is your safety, amen? The economic security is only in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He guarantee you, like he began this service this morning, I brought up prayer and thought that kingdom come. He that will faithfully pray this prayer every day will have your need supply also, amen? Praise the Lord. That's simple. Jesus is our, financial security and security of all things. He is our everything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They shall lack no good thing, right? He said, that trust in the Lord. So we see. So, there will be a human side. That's right. So, although it will be Satan's masterpiece, at first, he will appear as a man inspiring the confidence of the world. There will be a human side to him anyway. Like any other politician, he may, like the Pope, even, kiss babies and so forth like that, when he comes to India, or perform humanitarian acts, when it comes in and so forth. Now, as the Lord Jesus had a forerunner, John the Baptist, we know that and so in the Bible and so on, the voice cried in the wilderness, right? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, he says. Anyway, so the Antichrist also, we have a forerunner. That's what I'm talking about this morning. The Antichrist has already even had several forerunners. If the world knows to look at it, but the Christian knows about it, he already has many, many forerunners. But one especially stands out beyond the rest of them. Well, as the old saying, goes, history tends to repeat itself, isn't it? Praise the Lord. History tends to repeat itself and so on. So, the lives of various figures, in the Bible, in the New Testament and so on, many, many Old Testament figures, they are a type of one aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus or the other. Talk about Joseph, and so on, how he typified Christ. That's a whole sermon by itself. How Joseph was a type of Christ, right? You can name them. You can talk about Moses. Moses even said, a prophet like unto myself shall either God raise up, right? How, talking about meekness. Outside of Christ, Moses was the most meek man we know in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So many of them type Christ in that way or the other. These are all sermon in their own self. Joshua. Oh shit, that was his name, Christ, actually, and some of that, So, typing Christ, the captain of the host, and so appear to him, and some of that, And of course, David, king, prophet, and priest, right? So, many of them type Christ. So, in the same way, there are also characters in history who obviously are a type of the Antichrist, you know, many of them. And I thought another sermon by itself, many of the Bible says many men Antichrist, pre-Antichrist, you know, have already come into the world. So we can name them. In the time of Moses, that Pharaoh was a type of the Antichrist, you know. The Pharaoh that was in the place in the time of Moses was a type of the Antichrist. Of course, Haman, in the days of Esther, wanted to destroy all the Jews, was a type of Antichrist. Praise the Lord. And of course, Antiochus Epiphanes in Israel, a type of the Antichrist. Julius Caesar, type of the Antichrist. And Adolf Hitler, type of the Antichrist. So you see, we see them. So, and just like I read in the beginning of the message, you know, 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. If you remember anything in this world, remember we are living the last days, amen? Yeah. If you don't remember anything, remember we are living in the last days. Why? Because the Lord says so, amen? I don't want to receive anything because God Almighty says so, it is enough for me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, and that will help us to really be ready every day, the day and the hour we don't know. So, anyway, let us move on in this message by the grace of God. So the Antichrist, like Hitler, will seek to destroy not only the Jews, but his hatred will equally be intense against all who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture, Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him, meaning the Antichrist, to make war, and you know, with the saints, see, the word saints, you know, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all nations, over all kindreds, and the tongues, and the nations, the Bible says, and so forth. You know, so, to understand the way the Antichrist will rise to power, you know, we need to look or to study, you know, the archetypes that we mentioned aforetime, like Hitler and so on, which I will talk a little bit about him and so on like that, you know, if you want to really understand, you know, how the Antichrist really rise to power and so on. So Julius Caesar and Antiochus Epiphanes belong to, you know, ancient times really. So we pick Adolf Hitler, who was a product of the 20th century. He brought it closer to home, right? Because we are living in the last days, right? Tracking Hitler's activities will help to understand how the beast of Revelation 13 will rise to power and achieve such a great authority and take control of the nation in so short a time. You see, like I said, history, you know, and some of that, you know, can repeat itself and some of that, you know, it will, in the case of this kind of this Antichrist and so forth, you know. By Hitler's life, we may also have an insight on how the Antichrist will come to his end. Bible says he will come to his end and no man will help him, right? That's the book of Daniel. Praise the Lord. So history foretold, the Bible is kind of history foretold ahead of time really, you know. So we see. So we can see from Hitler's life how the Antichrist will come to his end. Bible says he will come to his end and no man shall help him and some of that, you know. Revelation 13 gives goes to considerable detail about the beast reign and its activities. Revelation 17 informs us that 10 nations we learn the Antichrist, their strength, and give him support in his bid for world dominion. Most of these things are familiar to us in this church. The Bible says that, we need to renew our mind, amen? And after that, I will keep you in remembrance. Praise the Lord. Even though you know these things, praise the Lord. Why the Lord, refused Satan's proposition of offer of the kingdoms of the world. Remember in Luke chapter 4, the temptation of Christ, right? Took him to a high mountain and showing the little one all the glory thereof. Just bow down and worship me and I give it to you and so on. But the Lord rebuked him. I don't know that, you know. Anyway, so, but Hitler, on the other hand, coveted world power with a maniacal desire, but was cut off before he attained this goal. The Antichrist will eagerly accept Satan's offer and will sell himself utterly to the devil in order to obtain this same power. And so that, you know, at the beginning, the Antichrist will not reveal his true character. I've been summarizing many things here. Talking about the forerunner and so on, of the beast and so on, that, you know. He will appear as a humanitarian, the world savior, who will bring order out of chaos. That's how he will come. A false Joseph will come upon this world and so on, that, you know. After he has received full power, he will begin to reveal his real satanic nature, you know, in this generation we are living in right now. See? Now, rising toward prominence from a small beginning, like Hitler, he will, like Hitler, astonish the world with military prowess, moving in lightning-like strokes. He will crush three nations, one after the other. Bible verse is in Daniel 7:24 of many of the enemy readers. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings, shall rise. And another shall rise after them. And is the diver from the first. And they shall subdue three kings, he said, and something like that, you know. In fact, so much so, the scripture says of the people of the world, Revelation 13:4, saying, and they worship the dragon, which gives power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's the kind of personage the world will see in the beast, the Antichrist, you know, in this generation, according to the scriptures and so forth. Once he has gained the supreme power, the beast or Antichrist, I will use the two words interchangeably, really, you know, according to beast or Antichrist and so forth, will throw off his mask and reveal his real nature. Strong opposition will rise against him, but it will be too late to be effective. When the opposition rises against him, it will be too late to be effective and so forth. He will not hesitate to use the tremendous forces of destruction which have been prepared unwittingly by science today. You know what I'm talking about? Such atomic hydrogen bomb and so forth. And lately, the unpredictability of AI or artificial intelligence and so on, you know, that even the scientists fear. The creators are even fearing the potential of AI today. Governments of the nation are making about, I don't know, a year or so ago and so on, in both Europe and US, our government and so on, in the time of Biden and so on, can they do about limiting the potential power of AI? Even the creatures are so fearful, this can really go haywire and so forth, or according to prophecy and so on. So this Antichrist will not hesitate to use these tremendous forces of destruction, like I said, which have been unwittingly produced by science, you know, at its disposal. 13:13 of Revelation tells us this. And he does great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That won't rule out atomic hydrogen bombs too. Praise the Lord. So Bible predicted this, you know, world history in advance and so on, by the scripture and so on. That's calling the end from the beginning, the Bible says, of the Lord. His crushing of the three nations as told in Daniel and so on, and his threat of annihilation will be sufficient to intimidate and defy any other country which might seek to oppose him. Adolf Hitler, I say again, a real forerunner of the beast of Revelation 13. He sought to exterminate the Jewish race, and he actually succeeded in murdering 6 million Jews. That is in history, right? That's in history. That's right. You know, the Antichrist, we have the same murderous hatred for the Jews. But in addition, he will regard all Christians with an implacable hatred. And we seek to exterminate them from the face of the earth. Now begin to see. Why did I begin to say, watch therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? So, don't take lightly. It is the time to count everything insignificant when it comes to thinking about the coming of the Lord. Everything insignificant. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the hour you and I are living in right now. So, either hear it, let him hear what is listening to the churches. Amen? Praise the Lord. He that has and hear, let him hear what is visible to the churches and so forth and that. So the Antichrist, we have the same I already got through that and so on that, So why the Lord permitted the Holocaust? Why the Lord permitted the Holocaust? Like I said, 6 million Jews perished, in that time and so on. Why the Lord permitted? It's simple. Because the Jews rejected the gospel. They were no longer under divine protection. When a Christian sins, I don't quickly repent, then you're not under divine protection, you repent, Praise the Lord. Sin is a terrible thing, but thank God for the grace of God, So if you know you have missed it, don't waste time wandering in sin, That's why you have 1 John 1:9, If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, If you confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. No Christian needs to break fellowship with the Lord in any form or shape. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we see that right there. So they don't permit the locals because, they rejected the gospel. And they said, his blood be upon them, they said, and their children. That's all in Matthew 27:24. Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent, he said, of the blood of this just person. See to it that they told Judas, after he has betrayed the just one, right? With the money to the temple and so on. They said, go and see to it. go and see to it. Judas and so on. Like, I pour the money in the floor and so on. Go and see to it. You can't wash your hand like that off the Christ. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we see right there. So, and 25 verse says, then answer all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. That's why the Lord permitted the Holocaust, right? So, and be careful what you say. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, so now, wrath of the Antichrist. Israel had 3 successful lightning-like wars going through history now. Number one, the smashing and overrunning of Poland in September 1939. Number two, in April 1940, Hitler swooped down on Denmark and Norway, taking one nation over the in a matter of hours, and the other in days. Number three, his offensive toward the Western Europe, in which Netherlands, Belgium, and France fell in a little over a month. Talking about the three successful, like what I said, this man waged during his time and so forth. So will the Antichrist have 3 successive victories also? It's a type, of the 10 kingdoms, which comprise his territory. I'm going to talk more about those 10 kingdoms down the road. 3 of these are nations which will resist him initially. Already, the prophet in Daniel already. However, he will quickly subdue them, this city that opposed him, and the others, seeing that his power is apparently, irresistible, they just fall in line with him. Daniel 7:24 says this, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be divers from the fourth, and he shall subdue three kings. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's what the Bible says and so on, that you know. So just like Hitler and so on, you know, ferocious and so on. The Antichrist will negotiate with both the defeated nations, meaning those three kings and so on, and those that stand by him. Why is he doing this? This will be for faith-saving purposes, to make it appear that they are joining him on their own free will. He will invite them as partners to join him in an enterprise to bring the world under a united government. One world government is coming under his rule. Praise the Lord. This we know, and that is the fulfilling the scripture in Revelation 17:12, which I want to read. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as a king 1 hour with the beast. You know, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Right, that is this what will happen according to the scripture. Now, let us see more explanation about the ten kingdoms, right? Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we are all familiar with that, you know, of the great image. In Daniel 2 gives us the understanding of the prophecies concerning the ten kingdoms of the Antichrist that I've been talking about, and so on, that you know. As we all know, paraphrasing, the image comprising of four different metals, meaning gold representing Babylon, silver representing the Medo-Persian Empire, brass representing the Grecian Empire, and of course, the iron and so on, representing Rome. So, and so that's what the king saw, and the interpretation and so on, that you know. So these things, they represent the old times, of the time of the Gentiles. Those three kingdoms represent the whole period of the time of the Gentiles, you know, during which four world kingdoms were to appear successfully on the earth. Like I already said, the gold represents Babylon, the silver Medo-Persian Empire, the brass Grecian Empire, and the iron and the clay Rome. So the four empires will finally be succeeded by the kingdom of God. How the Bible says, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now let's talk about this last empire, which is called Rome. I know that's because that's the time we are living in, right? The final form of the fourth kingdom, which is Rome, was represented by the feet and ten toes of iron and clay, as the Mary as was seen by the clay, you understand that, you know. The iron and clay portray the two divisions of the Gentile world. Right before you have communism, Bible prophesy of these things, right? Praise the Lord. Right before, the Bible is like, you know, history portrayed in advance. Praise the Lord. The creator will call the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord Jesus. We are living at the time of the end and so forth. Anyway, the iron and the clay portray the two divisions of the Gentile world, you know, at the time of the end. The iron represents fascism and the clay communism, the two great totalitarian systems in the world today. At times, these two elements appear to mix and have affinity for each other, but eventually, they always come apart, just as the scriptures say in the book of Daniel. The iron and clay don't stay together, so they cannot stay together, and so they will conflict, and they will split apart, and so forth. So we saw this in World War I, and in World War II, you know, and will be true in the final conflict of Armageddon. See? Hitler and Russia made a league, but it fell apart exactly after 666 days. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
A sinister number. Man is this and so on that, you know. Revelation 13:18 to 2:20 and so on that, you know. So, I mean, 666 days. I mean, the league broke and so forth, that, you know. So, will it be with this kingdom of Revelation 13, as I've mentioned here earlier today, the ten toes of iron and clay of Nebuchadnezzar's image, dream, represent the kingdom of the end time. This indicates there will be 10 kingdoms of iron and 10 kingdoms of clay. The 10 kingdoms of clay are the communist world, communist countries and so on like that, you know. And the 10 kingdoms of iron are in Western Europe, though not yet under the peace system right now or under the Antichrist yet, but they will be. Well, they are united. You'll be hearing about NATO lately, At one time, the president here, in his first time, fought with NATO, put out of NATO, right? But this time around, he's working with NATO again, right? So NATO is in the news, right? Praise the Lord. Anyway, so the 10 kingdoms of iron and clay in Western Europe and so on, one day they go under the Antichrist system, they are united in the NATO Defense Pact. This organization, no doubt, is a forerunner of the Western Confederacy. These countries are not named in the scripture, but anyone with a map of Europe can make up a list that must fairly well approximate the correct order. I won't go into that right now, but go and look at the map of Europe and so on. Without any doubt, the European Union, called the EU, may well be preparing the way for the beast kingdom and the reign of the Antichrist. The Bible prophesied this thing right before there was anything about the European Union and so on. That, it's happening your day and my day. And of course, so let's see. Now, the revival of the Roman Empire under the beast. Now, we are in Rome. The Rome is the last one, right? Iron and clay. And the final form of the Roman Empire are those 10 kingdoms represented by the clay, by the toes of clay and of iron. In Daniel 2, right? So now, so if you look at Rome today, you don't seem to see 10 kingdoms there, right? So we're talking about the European Union, right? And all these 10 European countries and so on. Let's see what the Bible says and see what we are at. Now, in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, there were to be four successive kingdoms or empires. I'm repeating myself here, much more so maybe have the young ones here to drive it home so you don't forget these things and so on. Because we are living in those days, four successive empires, the last being Rome, the three previous empires, I want to repeat again, Babylon, Indo-Persia Empire, and Grecian Empire. Now, the 10 kingdom empire of the Antichrist, represented by the 10 toes of the image, must, therefore, in some way, be related to Rome. It has to be, because the last empire, right? And so those 10 toes must, one way or the other, be related to Rome, to Rome. If it's not related to Rome, then it has to be a fifth empire, right? If those 10 toes don't relate to Rome, which is the last of the four Gentile nations, then it must be a fifth empire. But we are told the fifth empire is not of those, but the kingdom of God, right? And it is to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So, because we are told in Daniel 2:44, the only empire mentioned after those four are mentioned in Daniel 2:44. And in the days of this king shall the God of heaven set up the kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. Where Babylon is gone, and some of that you know, Middle-Persia is gone, Grecia is gone, and so on, Now we have Rome and so on. Anyway, the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all this kingdom, and it shall stand forever. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and its dominion shall be forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even at his birth, Isaiah 19 and so on, his kingdom and his whatever shall be without end. Amen. Isaiah 19 says, so praise the Lord. So anyway, so we see right here. Verse 45 says, for as much as thou sawest that his tomb was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that he break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, the prophet said, And the interpretation thereof is sure. Praise the Lord. This thing must come to pass. Many things have come to pass already. So to understand Rome. So when you see today, how will it be compared to this 10 nations that God is talking about? Well, to understand Rome and how the empire is to be revived. There has to be a revived Roman Empire for what we have today. Praise the Lord. So there has to be a revived Roman Empire. To understand Rome and how its empire is to be revived, we must look into history and talk about the history of Rome. And here is the core of the thing. History shows that Rome has been in existence in one form or another all down through the age. And history shows that when one phase of Roman power left or fell, it reappeared in another form. Moreover, history reveals that a given form of the Roman power after its fall seems to have a peculiar capacity to revive again at a later date. That's why this end time there must be a revived Roman Empire and so forth. Let's take a look at the various phases of the Roman Empire to bring it to date to us, so you don't begin to worry when you see Rome today. Come to be as the Bible says. Number one, so these are the various phases of the Roman Empire. There were no less than four distinct phases in the development of this empire called Roman Empire. We have the Empire of the Caesar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Empire of the, number one. We have the Eastern or Greek Roman Empire. These are all these subjects I can go into individually, but we don't have time. So the Empire of the Caesar. We have the Eastern or Greek Roman Empire. We have the Papacy. And last of all, the German Holy Roman Empire. You mean that German was once part of the Roman Empire? Absolutely right. This is amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. I ask. Try. German was once even the center of the Roman Empire at one time. You know. Anyway, so we see those four phases of the Roman Empire and so on. Indeed, German Holy Roman Empire was terminated in the year 1806 by the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars, the time of Napoleon, you know. So all of this phase of Roman Empire has all declined by now, right? Or even, you know, or falling by the time of Napoleon's time. They all have been falling and so on. And so consequently, summarizing, you know, since the beast power will be in final manifestation at the end of the age, a revived Roman Empire is anticipated. It has to be so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. But what form will it take then when it comes through? What form will the revived Roman Empire take? Well, the amazing fact is that there have already been several revivals of the Roman Empire actually in the past. But the most significant one that you can point out in history is the one under Benito Mussolini, you know, who appeared on the scene and at that time and so on. He made Rome to become a fourth rate power at that time. Where his title was Il Duce. That was Il Duce. That was his title and so on like that, you know. In Italy, it means leader anyway, but his title is Il Duce. The title used by Benito Mussolini and so on. He rapidly made Italy a military power and began to menace the world with his ambitious plan. He dreamed about the restoration of the ancient glory of Rome. And among other things or exploits, he had a statue erected to himself 300 feet high. Yes, he did. Yeah, Idushi, 300 feet image of himself, was erected and so on, you know. Anyway, so in the 30s, Mussolini inaugurated a program for Italy that is, I will call it Napoleonic proportion, meaning magnitude and so on like that, you know. Even though, his country was in, was in bad shape and so on, but he big this great program and so on like that, you know. And considering the meager resources of this country, he did other kind of things, you know, like, you know. In October 1935, he believed the hour to strike had come. Fascist forces called the black shirt, like the shirt I'm wearing, the black shirt, not the color, black shirt and so on like that, they call it, crossed over the Ethiopian border and defied sanctions by the League of Nations. You see how ineffective? You know, the United Nations succeeded the League of Nations, right? And it has been effective as the League of Nations. They couldn't do anything to him. He crossed Ethiopia and subdued it, praise the Lord. We just have the United Nations, whatever, in New York, was it a week or so and so on. You know, they have these people can just, you know, sign things up and so on. They are ineffective. And we know why. It is a godless organization, praise the Lord. It has no God in it. They can't bring any peace. I think they want peace, the peace of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Anyway, even he is marked by so many 666 numbers. That UN has to be established by its own self. Don't have time for that right now. Anyway, so the League of Nations, the facilitator of the UN, couldn't stop Mussolini from crossing to Ethiopia. Anyway, so they tell him not to do it, but he went ahead and crushed Ethiopia and so on, and that, you know. So that's in October, so, you know, of 1935. So anyway, so, and they could not be stopped by the League of Nations. Quickly, he broke Ethiopian resistance and added the country to his empire. See? The following year, Mussolini formally proclaimed the restoration of the Roman Empire. He proclaimed the Roman Empire right there. I could have written his statement. I don't have time to. I have to say that he read in the perversion of his house, you know, claiming that he has restored the Roman Empire and so on. We're talking about the revived Roman Empire, right? And there have been some of it, like in the past, like the one that he did and so on. Mussolini added another nation or two to his shaky empire, and then made the fateful mistake of joining Hitler's bandwagon. From then on, like Sisera, the captain of Jabin, king of Canaan, you read Judges chapter 4 and so on, army, the stars were against him. Praise the Lord. See, that's how he just begins to fall right there and so on. Yeah, the stars were against him, so to say, like you see that, you know, in Judges 4 and so on, that, you know. So we see, so his armies were ignominiously beaten time after time. Hitler, in disgust, had to bail him out. You know, in some of his ill starred enterprises. In 1943, after 7 years of the revived Roman Empire that he created, Mussolini was captured while in an ignominious flight. And he and his mistress were executed. He passed from the picture unsung and unregretted. Praise the Lord. Incidentally, 2 years before he came to power, meaning Mussolini, his rise and fall were predicted as the first of seven visions that came to Brother William Branham in June of 1933. In June of 1933, seven visions came to Brother Branham, and the first of them was the prediction of the rise of Mussolini. Praise the Lord. And you know, let me just say that a little bit and so on, that, you know. And so anyway, so while baptizing in the Ohio River, in the vision, Brother Abraham saw a vision, and Benito Mussolini rise to power in Italy, that he will invade Ethiopia. Summarizing the vision now, I don't want to quote much of that. But his end will be disgraceful. His body will be spat upon and dishonored by his own people. Exactly what happened. He was murdered with his mistress in Milan. Praise the Lord. Suddenly come to his end. 2 years before he came to power, that prophecy by Abraham, you know, the vision, seven visions. And Abraham said that vision, the Lord told him that there are events, seven events that will come to pass, precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass exactly. We are living in the most prophetical generation. Praise the Lord. So don't take it lightly. The day and the hour, we don't know. That's why night and day, see? Join that voice crying in the wilderness, amen? The midnight cry, behold the bridegroom cometh. Go ye to meet him, amen? Praise the Lord. Don't sit on the sideline. Amen. Don't just believe, but turn it out. You know, don't sleep now. I mean, spiritual sleeping and so on. Anyway, of interest, talking of the seven visions, now just a direction here. You know, there is a fourth. There are seven visions he had. Of interest is the fourth one. And I summarize this here. Of interest is the fourth of those seven visions that came to Brother Abraham in 1933, where he saw, as a result of advances in science and technology, driverless cars, where people play their games while traveling in them. And of course, this is doubtless fulfilled today in today's autonomous vehicles. You can see yourself on the street and so on. 1933, the professor, in this vision, the fourth vision, I don't want to go into all the visions, I just want to tell you we are in the end time, amen? Because he said these things are, the Lord told him, they are the things that will happen as part of the event to precede the coming of the Lord. Anyway, so today, we can attribute, I don't want to say much about that, you know, you see people playing cards. Today, it could be, you know, your iPad, you see what I'm saying? They were playing, it could be your iPad while you are in that autonomous car. I just leave the idea, praise the Lord. So anyway, so we are at the end time, it happened, Mussolini and so on, and let's move on now. Why did Mussolini's, Roman Empire fall, fail together? Why did it fail? It failed because the time had not come for the prophecy of the Antichrist to come, to be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. That's why it couldn't stand. So that's why that Roman Empire that it came did not stand and so forth. Now, in any of this thing now, just events and so on that we bring about and preparing for the coming of the Antichrist and so on, the foreigning events, you know, before the beast and so on like that, you know. Note, the papacy is the one that came before Mussolini, right? The papacy and so on. Let's talk about the papacy and then I'm going to finish from there. The revival of the papacy. Early in the 19th century, the papacy, one of the faces of the Roman Empire, as I earlier said, today, suffered a temporary eclipse, you know. The Pope was made a prisoner of Napoleon. He retrieved, his fortunes later, temporarily, somewhat, only to suffer a real disaster in 1870, when his temporary dominion was taken from him. In protest, the pontiff declared himself a prisoner in the Vatican, and his authority that his authority will be restored. It was, after that, you know. Now, when Mussolini came to power, what did he do? He startled the world by entering into negotiation with the papacy with the intent of restoring his temporal sovereignty. He, Duchy, know what I'm talking about, Mussolini, right? Undoubtedly considered it a sound strategy to secure the favor of the Catholic Church, Church and State, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We are doing it in America today. The evangelicals and so forth, you know. They want to bring peace to the world on the political scene. They're getting together. So this man, he can get religious people, by, all the Catholic and so on. We have it today too, you know, and so on that, you know, in the form. And we all end it the same way anyway. You know, Babylon, we all end there, and so on that, you know, anyway. So we see. So anyway, they call it the Lateran Treaty. And it was called. And was finally drawn up and signed during February 1929. A square mile of territory around the Vatican was declared independent of Italy. This recreated state was to maintain its own government, send out its own envoys, and have its own flag, and all the appointments of a sovereign state. Thus, what I'm saying here, another phase of Roman power experienced a restoration. There will be a revived Roman Empire. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm saying. You know, one thing, seems certain. While the various phases of the Roman power have had varied and temporary restorations, the final revival must be of imperial power. It has to be. Praise the Lord. The final revival of Roman Empire must be of imperial power. Why? Because Revelation 13 shows the beast to be a fierce political power that exercises its dominion with violence are unrivaled in the ugly history of the past. Now let me end up with this, you know, this morning. Some of this said before, but it's okay. So what is the extent of the Antichrist kingdom? Let me read to you in Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him, the Antichrist and so on, to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So just looking at that verse, where one would think that the Antichrist will just take over all the nations of the world, right? Well, it appeared that way as we read it and so on like that, you know. But looking at this critically, with another, eyesight, So, I don't think you're going to control all the world. And I give examples in the Bible. For example, we must interpret scripture in its own context and according to its own definition. I'm asking, will Antichrist just take over the whole world? Is that what's going to happen? I'm saying probably not. For example, the Bible, when speaking of the whole world, generally limited the phrase to mean the prophetic world. That's what the Bible is always doing. When it says the whole world, the Bible is talking about the prophetic world, that portion with which the ancients were familiar, For example, I give an example here in the Bible. For example, when in Luke 2:1, once you read it for yourself, when in Luke 2:1, the Bible spoke of Augustus Caesar sending out a decree that the whole world should be taxed. The Roman world was intended. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, certainly that did not affect the Western agency. America wasn't taxed. Amen? You should praise the Lord. But you said the whole world, right? That was the whole world of that time, right? Another one is this. So similar statements speaking of the whole world were obviously limited to the known world of that time. I give you two scriptures. In Romans 1:8, Apostle Paul writing by divine inspiration, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Was it spoken of in America? Praise the Lord. Talking about the Africa did not take over all the whole world as we are looking at it. So the Bible looks at the whole world in different ways and so on. One more scripture. In Acts 11:28, and stood up one of them, of their name Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Adonis. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't think Nigeria is there. I don't know if Nigeria is there. That is drought. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so the Bible can use the same word, the prophetic word, the known word to the ancient at that time and so on. So having said that though, so for this reason, unless there were positive proof, otherwise, we should not assume that the Antichrist will have absolute control over every nation on the earth. But I won't stop there. You can look at Daniel 7:7-8 and Revelation 17:17. They make clearly that the extent of the Antichrist kingdom are those 10 kings that we talk about and so forth. Now, well, this is a very powerful empire, but does not nearly include the over 100 other major nations of the world, of the earth and so on. But one thing is this, of course, with present day possibilities of a nuclear warfare, let us clarify what I'm saying. In one way, it may have influence upon all the world. Talking of nuclear power and proliferation and so on, a totalitarian power set on aggression can intimidate nations at a distance, right? Putting threats to bomb America and so on. You know what I'm saying? Any other place. So in that sense, the Antichrist, we have control of atomic power too. In that sense, it may have kind of control over the world too, because they love nuclear and so on like that, So anyway, so we see. So again, another reason is this. Why the Antichrist may not be having control over all the world. We know that Russia and a confederation of nations will be separate from the Antichrist. Though they will work together hand and glove, but they will break back and forth, right? So, you know, so we say right there, you know. So though, they will work together and they will break and so on. One other thing is this. Consider, about this project about the whole world and the Antichrist is this. We know that the whole world will meet at the Battle of Armageddon, right?
Amen.
So, I mean, if the Antichrist controls the whole world, who is fighting who? Praise the Lord. So we don't have that kind of contract with this literally over the whole world. Because then, you know, no bad being the case, if all these armies were under the Antichrist, then there will be no foe for him to battle at Armageddon, really, you know. So we see that. Well, so much so for events that have prepared the way for the Antichrist rise to power in so many ways this morning. I think the takeaway from here, that be a revived Roman Empire, amen?
Amen.
That is take away. So don't begin to look at Rome and so on, that be a revived Roman Empire made of those European countries and so on, maybe NATO, and European Union and so on, coming out of there and so on, that, you know. And like I said before, Germany was one of, you know, of the Roman Empire and so on. So praise be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us keep our eyes open. No other generation like this one, nor should understand prophecy like we should do. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So, another way of saying this thing this morning is this. However, we look at this time is short. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's not even my language. Let's look at the scripture. I say time is short, right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7:29 as I finish up here. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The time is short. It remaineth that both they that have a wife be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they purchase not. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the passion of this world passes away. Praise the Lord. James chapter 5 verse 8. Be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord dreads now. Amen. We are saying all these things happening in your own time. I don't have to show you the shortness of time. Amen. That's why we are saying all the time is short. So and so on. I just count all things insignificant relative to all that you'll be doing this world right now. And so on that, you know. Now the last scripture, Luke 21:34-36 this morning. And now, the reason why we are talking through this scripture here, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overshadowed with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall they come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always. The Lord meant what he said, right? Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you because there is a way of escape.
Amen.
And the Lord has shown us that way. Lord, we glorify your name, Lord. Give us understanding of the signs of the time.
Amen.
The Bible says, will I have any of the things I will do from Abraham? The type of the elect, we thank you for not leaving us in darkness. What shall be in this age as the age closes?
Amen.
Father, help us to pay attention to the word of God.
Amen.
Take the word of God seriously, not second place in our life, but first place indeed. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, that account us worthy to escape all these things, Lord, shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And we know, as we seek your kingdom first, you told us, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto us without fail. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, O God, we are reading a epistle. We should be reading a epistle read of all men. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we are the light of the world. The Lord gave us that light. He is the light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. And he has given you that light. Right? We say, let your light so shine that the world will see it and glorify our Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Help us not to be ashamed to tell every man of the hope that is in us. The coming of the Lord, that night. Be ye also ready. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for blessing us this morning. Amen. As we go and meditate upon all these things, the shortness of time, no matter what he possesses, like nothing, we thank God for what he has, because he promised that he's going to do it for us. The Bible says, have no anxiety about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto each day are the evil thereof. The Bible calls it an evil age, a perilous time. Help us to take heed, Lord, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The scripture says also, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you have seen the children of the men, when their children ask them for bread, they don't give them stone. When they ask them for, you know, for feed, they don't give them serpent. When they ask them for, you know, for air, they don't give them scorpion. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Galatians 5:16, be ye filled with, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have oil in your lamp, Matthew 25, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And watch for, and go to sleep now spiritually. And the Bible says, you know, consider the lilies, how they don't toil. Yes, Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these ones. How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He rebuke with the train of God, not to have anxiety. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ravens, sir, they have no storehouse and so forth, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. So we thank you for all these examples, the pilots of the kingdom. As we go this morning, Lord, we go in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As overcomers, sir, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is the will of God for us. He that overcometh, as I overcame, when he sits upon my throne, as I overcame, and I sit together with my Father in his throne. So encouragement to be overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Help us not to see ourselves any less. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The scripture says we are what we are, who we are by the grace of God. We are overcomers, more than conquerors. Greater is he, the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, which is not that he that is in the world. And all things are possible now to him that believes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are believers, and all things are possible to us through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for the week, Lord. So thank God for putting the worship day to be the first day of the week. So we set the law before our Father David said, Lord, the good shepherd lead us into the green pasture beside the still waters. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Lord, we thank you and we worship you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Our Lord is coming back again. Glory, hallelujah, it's coming back again. Let us go our feet if you can. It's coming back again. Lord, it's coming back again. He went away and promised that it's coming back again. Oh, it's coming back again. My Lord, it's coming back again. No better way to close this service than the Bible itself closes, amen?
Amen.
So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
And in the praise of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, thank you, thank
you. Thank you. When we say, you get people back like this, I think that I'm saying very soon. Yeah. Don't I'm very soon. We are going to be that soon.
We are going to sing that song. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to sing that song.
Amen.
Hallelujah.